We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin.
The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, by air, President Roosevelt has just announced. The attack also was made on all naval and military activities on the principal island of Oahu.
The fact that the Japanese pulled off this surprise attack is widely remembered as a massive failure of U.S. intelligence. And now the same thing is said about the terrorist attacks on September 11th. So why didn't the U.S. government back then have some inkling that our country would soon be bombed? Historian Joseph Persico says military officers had intercepted reams of Japanese messages, but they never pieced together enough clues to be ready for the attack on Pearl Harbor. Persico writes about this history of espionage in Roosevelt's Secret War.
What the president and his chief staff were provided with was raw, essentially unanalyzed intelligence. Now, we have practically a cottage industry now of revisionist historians who say Roosevelt had all this information. He must have known about the impending attack and just wanted to get the U.S. into the war. For purposes of discussion, let's examine that. Roosevelt knew what was going on because we were intercepting Japanese messages. That means that the enlisted men who were cryptanalysts would supposedly then know that there was an attack pending on Pearl Harbor. They passed this intelligence up to their senior Army and Navy officers. These officers, in due course, passed this intelligence up to the nation's leadership, to the Secretary of War, the Secretary of State, the President himself. So now we have to imagine a collusion, beginning with the President running right down through sergeants and seamen who break codes to hide the fact that the Japanese are going to attack Pearl Harbor, a supposed collusion which would lead to the death eventually of 2,000 American men and the virtual destruction of the U.S. Pacific Fleet. I conclude, and I think many historians who will be objective about this conclude, that what happened at Pearl Harbor was not a conspiracy. That just doesn't hold up under close scrutiny. It was a catastrophe.
So what you're saying, if I understand you correctly, is that to say that Roosevelt should have known this is like saying Roosevelt had the complete works of Shakespeare, therefore he ought to know what's on page 72 of that complete works, even if he's never opened the book.
Well, that's a good analogy. Now, what FDR knew was that at some point, Japan was probably going to force a war upon the United States so they could knock us out of the Pacific and carry on their expansion. Something like 239 messages of the Japanese diplomatic channel were intercepted. But they talk about movement on Burma, movement on Malaya, movement on Thailand. None of these messages specifically mention Pearl Harbor. So the conclusion is Roosevelt expected an attack but couldn't know where or when.
You know, I think what's interesting about this and what you discuss a little bit in your book, Roosevelt's Secret War, is what Roosevelt learned from this error. He had all of this information, but he wasn't able to use it because he had insufficient analysis of it.
Well, finally, the president was persuaded by his Secretary of War, principally, that this intelligence that we obtained from code cracking was very important. Highly useful. Roosevelt was drawn to the derring do of spies on secret missions. I guess that may have been because he was wheelchair bound and it was a vicarious thrill for him. But he was persuaded that electronic intelligence, this interception of messages, was critical. Stimson said to him, "You've got to show more appreciation for this, Mr. President. What we know about the intent of Nazi Germany actually comes out of our decryption of Japanese codes. How did that come about?" Well, the Japanese had an ambassador posted to Berlin. His name was Oshima. Ambassador Oshima was a rabid pro-Nazi. Consequently, Hitler took him into his confidence. He would, for example, tell Ambassador Oshima, "I want you to go and take a look at our defenses, the Atlantic Wall. That's how we're going to repel any Allied invasion." He told Oshima, "Look, here's the deployments that I have so many divisions in Norway, so many divisions in Belgium, so many divisions in France." Oshima's a diplomat. What does he do? He reports all of this back to Tokyo, to the Foreign Office. We're cracking those codes, and now Roosevelt and the other Allied leadership have absolutely priceless information.
But on the other hand, you report an instance in which the Chicago Tribune made it clear that the United States had cracked the Japanese codes at one point, and didn't seem to make any difference.
This is an extraordinary story. The United States practically won the Battle of Midway because we had an intelligence edge. we were breaking the Japanese naval code by this time, and we knew the movements of the Japanese ships towards Midway. We caught them in advance, and we scored a victory that really turned the war in the Pacific around. A Chicago Tribune reporter had been a correspondent aboard one of the U.S. ships and discovered how we had had this intelligence edge. He files a story which appears in the Chicago Tribune, which incidentally was the journalistic nemesis of FDR. And in effect, the story headlines on the front page, Americans had Jap war plan, which is practically an admission that they were breaking their codes.
Yeah.
There was a considerable uproar in Congress, talk of putting the publisher, Robert McCormick, on trial for treason. Roosevelt was far more interested in protecting the secret rather than gaining revenge upon an enemy. No prosecution was ever advanced. The fascinating thing was, after all of this is going on and tens of thousands of readers know this compromise of the code, the Japanese continued using it until the end of the war.
So he was able to use intelligence. He learned from the failure prior to Pearl Harbor that he had to be able to go through this stuff. And I want to come back again to how things changed, because after that, we seemed to begin to make effective use of the intelligence gathering that we had. Whereas prior to Pearl Harbor, as you say, we had a lot of it, but we didn't seem to know what to do with it.
Also, a lot of the intelligence that the president was getting prior to our entrance into the war was really the work of socialite pals of his. It was finally in the summer of 1941, just months before Pearl Harbor, that the United States became practically the last major power to finally create a professional intelligence service. It's the Office of Strategic Services under Wild Bill Donovan. Bill Donovan was kind of an unusual choice to head a Roosevelt entity for this reason. While Donovan had been a World War I hero and a Medal of Honor winner and a vastly successful Wall Street lawyer, he was a staunch Republican. He had run for governor of New York on a campaign attacking Roosevelt's New Deal. But Bill Donovan was a irrepressible figure, full of optimism, full of bold ideas, full of imagination, full of all of the qualities that, in effect, reflected Franklin Roosevelt, and he becomes our first spy chief, in effect, the first director of Central Intelligence this country had.
I had the impression from reading your account, too, that prior to World War II, there was intelligence, but there was a lot of infighting among the community that gathered it. If I got a good story, I wouldn't necessarily tell my colleague in the other agency that I had it. And without the two pieces of information, sometimes you couldn't draw the conclusions that you needed.
Jim, as the saying goes, the more things change, the more they seem the same. This complaint of a lack of cooperation among intelligence agencies, reluctance to trade information, is one of the explanations that's being put forward for our failure to detect the disaster of September 11. The same thing existed prior to World War II, particularly. We had the FBI, then you had Donovan's agency, you had the military intelligence chiefs, and none of them wanted to share what they had. Roosevelt finally set up a coordinator to try to crack heads and bring these people together because he wanted a more efficient intelligence operation in the United States, more unified. I think that in the end, Franklin Roosevelt, after, as I pointed out earlier, rather amateurish start, created a fairly good intelligence service. We went from ground zero at the beginning of the war, and within about 4 years, we caught up with other intelligence services, both allied and enemy.
Joseph Persico tells this story in the book Roosevelt's Secret War. He's also the co-author of Colin Powell's autobiography.